email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Anne Gildee, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
You have a new show. You're leaving the menopause behind.
Yeah, can I just say, my very last menopause show is on the 14th of December in On Green On, Letterkenny.
Right. It's been very good to you at the menopause.
Well, it has. I launched it kind of on your show in March. I was going to say 1922.
2022.
So I've had three amazing years out of it, including touring all over England with an amazing menopause doctor. So it's been incredible.
Yes. So it's important that we laugh about things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So now it's Further Adventures in Womaning.
Yes, I'm launching that on the 9th of July in the Viking Theatre. I know Ard Lohanlon was on your show recently and he was singing the praises of the Viking.
It's over in Clontarf, is it?
It's in Clontarf. It's over the Sheds pub and it's just the most amazing little theatre.
I often hear Joe Duffy waxing lyrical about it.
Oh, Joe goes in a lot.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
This is the most amazing. Mary Murphy's in there at the moment with the play. Brilliant actress.
Yeah. I didn't realise it was a verb, womaning.
Neither did I. We made it up, me and my partner Paul Farron, who does all the work with me. We made it up because I kept seeing this word, adulting. Kids are talking about I'm adulting, and I thought, what am I doing? Yes. What are we doing? Womaning. And the idea of womaning has changed so much over the length that I've been alive.
Yes.
I thought that would be fun.
So I'm manning, am I?
Yes, you're manning. You're patriarching.
No, I'm not. You see, that's a generalisation.
I know, I hate that word, actually. I hate that whole thing. So
what does womaning involve for you?
What does woman involve? Well, in the show, I'm just thinking about all the ideas of what a woman was when I was a kid.
How things have changed.
Because when I was a kid, I just thought, and I was talking to my sister about it, and she said exactly the same. I thought you became a woman when you got your first 18-hour girdle. Do you remember it was 18-hour girdle, cross your heart bra? I mean, what was the idea of an 18-hour girdle?
Hold on. You've just, that's a memory. The cross your heart bra. And that lady, she had a sort of a mannequin there, and then she gently made an X, didn't she? Yes. And she said, lifts and separates. That is.
Victoria Wood had the most brilliant line about that. Yeah. She said, if God had meant them to be lifted and separated, he would have put them on your shoulders.
That's sort of odd.
But I thought, that's a woman. You get your girdle and your pointy boobs ready to go.
You're a woman.
Your chiffon scarf test, your slippy leg, and off you go. Yeah. And do what women are meant to do, cooking, cleaning, washing. Because that's what it was all.
But that was institutionalised.
You had the Housewife of the Year competition, which really kind of framed everything in that.
Have you seen the documentary recently?
Yeah. Do you know something? This sounds soppy. I cried all the way through it because I was just thinking of all the women were hilarious. All the women were just so full of life and so talented, and they were, their options were really limited.
Yes.
And Gay was a wonderful, he was kind of king of the housewives. He was a wonderful, wonderful broadcaster, but there was a patronising thing in relation to the women. I just think it reflected maybe the atmosphere.
I suppose that
the
was
times.
The way broadcasting was done back then, wasn't
it? Yes. And the women were coming on like heifers or something, because he'd be going, how many kids? Yeah. And are you going to go again? Right. And where did you meet himself?
Yeah, the last one's fine. Where did you meet himself? But are you going again? That's a question.
But it's so funny when you look back at it. It was okay within
the time. On the serious note, the lack of opportunity, and I see that in my mother, you know, like my mother, if she was she was going through the educational system now.
My mum the same.
So definitely there would have been third level education. There would have been really high powered jobs.
Yeah, my mum didn't have the money to even send her to the convent, so she went to the tech. But then she emigrated and she had a wonderful life in England.
Just on my mother, you don't mind me talking for a second, because I was at a thing down home recently and I met a former teacher of mine. And my mother was a secretary in the school.
Yeah.
And he said to me, and it brought a tear to my eye, he said, you know, your mother is one of the most intelligent people I've ever worked with. And then he told this little story about a problem that he had and how one sentence from my mother solved it for him. You know, and that's, it's that lost opportunity. Now, my mum's very happy, but you just have to think
about
it.
You're going to set me off now. Because I'll tell you why. Because I talked to so many women when I was touring with my How to Get the Menopause show. And so, and a lot of them brought up that marriage bar thing. Or that their mother suffered from it. And that they would talk about how domesticated their mother had then had to become.
So in 1973, the marriage bar was removed. But up until then... Yeah. If you worked in the civil service, when you got married, you had to leave.
And a lot of jobs and a lot of big organisations. Now, in fairness, the marriage bar wasn't just in Ireland. It was in other European countries. It had to do with the economies and the way women were seen. And certainly post-war, it was like get women back in the home.
But of course, it's still happening in parts of the world.
Oh, don't talk about Afghanistan.
No, yeah. Oh. Okay. So that's one date. Contraception wasn't legalised until 1979.
Yeah. Women weren't legally entitled to receive the children's allowance until 1974. One of the most extraordinary facts that I came across was that a woman would have the same domicile as her husband legally in Ireland. So if he left her and he went off to Australia, her legal domicile would be Australia.
Because he was in Australia.
Yes. And that didn't change until 1986. In my new show, I kind of weave in a few bits and bobs just to kind of all the time give a context to...
Because it's, you know, it's serious lack of opportunity, all of that, treated as second-class citizens. But I suppose there is humour there because it's farcical, isn't it, that women were treated like that?
Oh, there's so much humour then. There's so much humour when you just look into the domestics of it all. And actually, I have to say... my mum had quite a difficult life, but she loved being a housewife.
Right.
You know, and that comes across with a lot of the women
But it's about choice, isn't it, Anne? You know, there are many women out there who choose to be, you know, whatever they choose to be. But back then, there was no choice.
There was no choice. That's why I just observed it all as a kid and thought, I'm never going to do that. I just went.
Did you from an
early
age? Yeah,
I did from very young, and I thought I kind of saw having kids as a trap. Unless you were a millionaire and you had options, you know. I admire anybody who I think is a phenomenal thing to take on the responsibility. I'm still at this age. I'm 58 now, and I still watch people having kids. Oh my God, the confidence that I because I see that as a whole controlling piece around women.
Well, there's a sort of an ignorance there, I think, about parenting. That people, if you really thought it through and you got advice and you did research on it and you gathered all the information and all the lived experience, you probably wouldn't do it.
That's the whole thing, you know. I've seen parents go when they're a child and go, you know, they can't, they're in shell shock with a newborn and they're going, but I know this is the worst bit. And then they're toddlers. I know this is the worst. But then they go to school. I know this is the worst. But then they're teenagers. I know this is the worst. But then they're in their 20s and they can't get them out of the house. Actually, this is the worst bit.
You don't gloat, I hope.
I absolutely don't gloat. No. I'm in awe. And my niece and nephew are the best people I've ever met in the whole world. So I'm very glad that they exist.
Yeah. And what about people like Yvonne Sandberg, who was talking about leaning in and having it all and having a career and having the children?
And then a husband dropped dead from overwork, probably. Right. Sorry, I shouldn't say that, but I think it's hard to do that.
Yeah,
you know, it depends on the person.
You see, if you have a world designed by men,
it
doesn't facilitate being a woman, and we haven't left that behind yet.
Well, I know that some men will go, "Oh, women wanted to say we're the same. Now you've got that, off you go." But women were never saying that. They were going, "We just wanted to be treated equally, but we are different and we have different needs."
Yes.
And I think it's just having the opportunity for that.
And being equal is not replicating how men behave.
This is the whole thing. Yes. And I think now we're going, it's male, female, but it's also, we're also people, because I've met men who love the caring role and are domestic. And, you know, it's just been more open to everybody.
Yeah, so the lines between womaning and manning are being blurred.
They are, but there's just so many nuancy things. Like, and I remember things like my mum used to make our clothes. I don't know, do people have time to do that? But so many mums did that. Did your mum do that? Our mum used to...
No, she was a genius at mending clothes.
All right, but you would hear, like after a hard day doing everything, in the middle of the night you'd hear the sewing machine going... It was like roadworks in the distance, making travesties for us to wear. I don't know where she got the patterns. They'd be like sleeveless jerkins with these squiggly. Do you remember kid who had homemade clothes? They'd have the squiggly boards. You look like you escaped from a Latvian folk group. And when I have already worked in the show in the Viking during the summer, and so I'm starting it again. And one woman told me a hilarious story. I was talking about homemade clothes, and she said her aunt used to make clothes for all the kids in the family, and she made these hot pants with a bib, and she was about 10 years of age, and she was going around thinking she was the coolest chick in the neighbourhood till she went round to her aunt's house and she'd upholstered her sofa in the same material. She's sitting on the sofa going, is this too matchy-matchy?
And of course, I don't know about your house, but we were doing, well, my mum was doing recycling and all that and upcycling long before it was fashionable.
Yeah.
Because if you got a pair of jeans, they were going to last you for years. Oh. Because we used to take the back pockets off and put them on the knees as patches.
And zips. You never, any time now that I'm, bringing anything to the, throwing anything, thrown anything away. If there's buttons
or
zipped, don't you? I don't, but I feel guilt because there'd be the big bag of buttons and the bag. There was always a bag of zips and a bag of buttons.
Yeah, now you just say it, the bag of zips, yes.
The bag of zips, and I feel guilty. Going, I have to throw those jeans out.
But we can use it for spares. We can use it for spares. Take the bag, pack it off, they'll be patches.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, surely there's a,
And then food, do you talk about food? At all, no.
Oh, God. Well, I just think it's there was just so much synthetic stuff around then, and you just look back, and I think the people now are so concerned about are there additives in that or anything,
and you but look you see, back. There weren't as many though. I'm sure there was in various
Angel
desserts.
Delight.
Oh, I was going to say it, but I didn't want
Angel Delight. You look back now, you'd be going, is that natural? It was powder in a foil packet that you tipped into a bowl, you added milk, and it just went.
What about Bird's Trifle, our favourite?
Oh, Bird's Trifle.
You know, hundreds and thousands at the top.
Yeah, but back then you'd be going, wow, isn't that amazing? A whole big bowl of trifle in a tiny box. Isn't science fantastic? Now you'd be going.
Anne Gildee, loads of memories there. And Anne is taking her womaning tour. More about womaning, is it? Sorry.
It's all about that kind of stuff.
Further adventures in womaning. Yeah. And you can go to annegildee.com. Thanks, Anne, for coming in. That's it from us.